خير المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, I bear witness openly that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, there is none like unto Him. And I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom our holy book, that is the Muslim holy book, Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, the generous mercy that was revealed to our Prophet Muhammad a little over 1400 years ago, that he is the last messenger, last apostle and servant to all of humanity. May the peace, the blessing of Allah forever be upon him, the best who was sent to us, the peace and the blessing be upon his family, as well as all of the righteous servants. Dear Imams, Assalamu Alaikum. And to our Imams throughout the community, we greet you with a special greeting of peace, Assalamu Alaikum. Dear Imams, we would like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for the effort that you have done in making this special occasion, that I'm sure has been special for all of us, successful. And we pray that these 2 days of celebration have been very successful for all of us, and I'm sure that they have. We would hope that all of us are thankful to Allah, that our leader, Imam Wasadi Muhammad, upon our asking him, has honored our invitation and decided to speak to us today, the Imams of the community. So while we are on national plug-in, we would just like to take this time and say we thank you, Brother Imam Muhammad, for being our leader. And we thank Allah that you are addressing us for these few minutes. Praise be to Allah. So without further delay, my brothers in Islam, without further delay, Brother Imam, I would like to bring before you our honorable leader, Imam Wasadi Muhammad. Takbir! 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 Imam Wasadi Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونصلي ونحمده على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most compassionate, we extol him on the gift of Muhammad, the last and universal prophet. We pray peace and blessings be upon him, upon his descendants, his companions, the righteous all. Ameen. And upon us be peace. Dear Brother Imam, it is an honor for me to address you by a telephone hookup on this second day of our 10th year anniversary observance or celebration. First, let me say that this religion is the main interest in our lives if we are Imams. The main purpose for us being in this particular involvement is to represent the religion of Al-Islam as it is revealed in the Quran, the book of all Muslims on this planet Earth, and to reflect to the best of our ability the principles, the behavior, the excellence of human nature after the model of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, of whom Allah says in the Quran, that he is the most excellent model for any who believe in God and in the last day. Let me quickly call your attention to the community interest that we should have as Muslims and that we should always champion as Imams. When Prophet Muhammad was blessed by Allah to establish small community governed by the Quran under his leadership in Medina, the first thing that he did was build a masjid. So we must understand that the masjid was not only a place for prayer in the beginning of the Islamic community under the Prophet, but it was also a place that served as a school or school setting, and the Prophet was the first teacher, peace be upon him. And it also served as a community center where the affairs and the needs of the community were addressed. So then we should understand that all of the other institutions, important institutions, grew out of that mosque or masjid environment that Prophet Muhammad established when he was given invitation and accepted invitation to establish the Islamic community in Medina. When we study the life of Prophet Muhammad and the history of Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessing be on him, we don't find him being a president of a corporation or one directly responsible for the business activities, or one directly responsible for agricultural activities. We don't find him being one directly responsible for anything except delivery of the message, the Quran, his teaching, his explanation, and the demonstration of that knowledge and the values and principles contained in the Holy Book in his own life. So we find him being a teacher, a warner and a teacher, and a model of what God had sent for all men. We do not find him accepting direct responsibility for the business life or the material life of the people. In fact, we have in the Hadith where people ask the Prophet about their agricultural situation or a need, and the Prophet gave advice to them because it was asked of him, not that he was heading a Department of Agriculture. And later, the people came complaining that his advice had not produced the expected result. And he told them to go on then doing as you had been doing before, and that is, disregard what I told you. Go on and do what you had been doing before. Now, I have studied that hadith, and I'm convinced that the Prophet was addressing something else, and the wise who heard his address would have understood that he didn't mean to carry it out literally what he said, but he was giving them an understanding of something else. And what he said was that they should not put manure or dung, that kind of fertilizer, on the plant. And when they followed his advice, they didn't get the yield that they expected, so they came back to the Prophet and complained. And then the Prophet told them, well, continue to do as you were doing before. And many imams, students in the religion, they conclude that that message is saying to us that the Prophet was given the knowledge to lead us in spiritual matters, but not in material matters. And that's a terrible mistake. The Prophet was given the knowledge to lead humanity in every matter. in every interest. But they misunderstood his wisdom when he said, do not dung the plants. For life, human life itself, is compared to a seed, and the cultivation of human life is compared to the cultivation of a garden. But that's the one you don't know. And there's very clear language in the Quran supporting what I just said. I was thanking my brother for bringing me some tissues. A little warm in cold Chicago today. But it's nice down here. It's cool down here. I was sweating upstairs there. Now, let me continue. It's not that the prophet didn't lead the people and direct them and advise them in the matters of business, but he did not accept responsibility for the conduct of business, for the run of the business. Every person, the trees, to go into business as they had done before the prophet began preaching. But there was a business ethic, or laws for the purification of the business environment. And we know that if you don't have such laws, the business environment will be taken over by corruptors, by greedy people who care nothing about anything but making a profit. So the prophet, as the leader for the humanity and leader of the Muslims, he led the ethical movement for business. That is, he led the Muslims into proper business ethics. But he did not take over business like the Communist Party has done, or like some others have done, like this business has done in the communities of the little people. But he left business open and free for all to engage in. And the people were to exercise Islamic knowledge, Islamic principle in the spirit of the religion, so that they would always conduct the business in a proper way that would not break the peace or corrupt the land. Again, the prophet himself was a businessman before he was given the office of prophet. He was dealing in commerce, trading, and he worked for the noble lady, may God be pleased with her, Khadija. Who became his wife after some time serving her in business, or as a business representative. And the prophet, peace and the blessing be upon him, did not stop being a businessman. The prophet bought property, he benefited from the property, he supported his family from the property. He did not stop being a businessman. But this is only a small part in the prophet's life, for the prophet was the leader for all people, and we are not to look at him as a private businessman, but as a leader for business and everything else, for the whole society, or the whole world for that matter, but particularly for the Muslim community or society. The prophet didn't expect taxes of the zakat and taxes to take care of all of his relatives. In fact, he said that the charities are not for my relatives. His relatives were not to have access to the charity. And upon his passing, peace and the blessing be upon him, none of his relatives were able to inherit any of the monies that he was trustee over. whatever they had earned as private people, private individuals, that was theirs. Whatever assistance he had given them from the community treasures or the zakat, that was theirs. But they had no rights of inheritance. This is hadith. This is sound hadith. They had no right of inheritance. They could not inherit zakat, charity. Therefore, they were left at the mercy of the community just in the, at the passing of the Prophet, just as they were when the Prophet was living. They could not dictate or tell those who had then had responsibility for charity or zakat how to distribute it. They could not demand a share in it. As imams, we are following the imam. Muhammad the Prophet is the imam. So none of us can save our relatives from zakat. None of our relatives can inherit zakat or inherit any masjid property or any community property. It's forbidden. If we want to establish ourselves materially, if we choose to follow this religion and to follow Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, then we are going to do exactly what Muhammad and all good industrious men do, find a way to go in business on your own. And build your own private business, then that's yours, it's personal. You can give it to your children, you can give it to your wife, you can do what you want with it. I'm not dictating to you, I'm merely advising you as your imam. The material concern cannot be left out of the imam's responsibility. The worst damage we could do to our own office, our own role as imam, is to follow the silly notion of many people in religion that the business of religion is afterlife and spiritual matters. No, the business of religion for us is community. Man's life as God intended for it to be. And that's best understood when we see the needs of man in a community setting. God says you are a community. You are one community. And he says that you are the best community, raised up for all people. That is, raised up to be a model of what God wants for all people on earth. We can't be a model for all people if we are only going to pray, take care of spiritual needs and spiritual matters, and leave the responsibility for promoting business and material growth to other people, lead a community of sheep that want nothing but a quiet place away from all the trouble. That's not al-Islam, and that shouldn't be the image for the imam. We turn now, in concluding of this introduction, to the matter that I have to present to you today by going to the chapter of the Quran. It's titled the Jummah. Just a moment, give me a moment here to put on my glasses and find the reference. Copy of Quran that I normally use. This is one that's here, and I had to get it because I left mine at home today, and it's taken me a little time to find it and reference here.
Oh, yeah, it's close now. This is a big circle. Page, what it is? Now, you know which one this is, the big one. 1544. Okay. 1545. All right. Yes, thank you very much. Here, the ninth ayah, or verse, of this chapter, the Jummah, the five-day congregational prayer. God says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha nudiya lis-salati min yawmil jum'ati, فَفْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ. In English, the translation is given here. O you who believe, when the call is proclaimed to prayer on Jummah, on Friday, and is given in brackets here, the day of assembly, hasten earnestly to the remembrance of God, and leave off business and traffic, that is, and traffic in such matters. That is best for you, ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That is best for you if you but know, if you but knew. Now in this verse, the ninth verse, God is pointing out to us our priority. Obedience to God is above worldly gain. However, there is a requirement, and God brings that to us. Now let's read the tenth ayah, a verse. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And when the prayer is concluded, then may you disperse through the land and seek of the bounty of God. Now, God says, first things first, do your duty to God. Put him above the business gains. But after you have done that, then disperse you, go out into the ways of profit. That's what God is saying. And he tells us, he doesn't just say, now you're free to go back. But he says, what the who? Which means search for it. How many of you all are searching for some profit? However, that kind of involvement will put you back under the influences that may cloud your mind and take you away from the remembrance of God, right? So God comes behind it, before and behind. Before, he said, put this duty to worship me before worldly gain. And then he says, go out and seek worldly gain. Seek the prophet in the world. But he comes behind it and says, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. and reflect on God much, that you may be successful. So this is the proper vision in al-Islam. This is the proper vision in al-Islam for Muslims and for the Muslim community to capture in one focus. This is in one focus, isn't it? God has put in one focus the spiritual need and the material need. He has put it in one focus. So the obligation then for us is to keep this in one focus as imams, who are supposed to be leading the congregation. To keep these in one focus, the spiritual needs, the devotional needs to God, and also the material needs. Knowing always that God is preferred to worldly gain. Praise be to Allah, who has revealed the truth and the perfect guidance. We can't come up with better. It's been tried for ages. They have never done it. Never will. Dear beloved Imam, praise be to Allah. I feel very good today. We return now to the Masjid community, to Masajid, the Masjid, the Masajid of the Masjid, where you reside as Imam, in what I used to refer to as the American Muslim Mission, but I've dropped that language, as you perhaps have heard. It's up to you to keep up whatever you like, but I'm not responsible for your affairs. But this is the way that I believe Allah intended it to be, and I would invite you to take the same position. As resident imams, you are to do the same thing the Prophet did, the peace and blessings be on him. The best imam will be the imam that keeps the Quran before the people and keeps the Sunnah of the Prophet before the people, because Allah didn't only reveal revelation, but he also revealed the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. Yes, indeed. So God says, maybe I should go to it and read it directly from the book. Let's see. Seventh chapter, 157th verse. الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إثرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به وعذروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. And those who believe in him, that means in Prophet Muhammad, and honor him, that means respect Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, and help him. You know it's talking about Muhammad now, because God said in the Quran, he needs no help from me. And follow the light. That's the Quran, because God says the light is his light, not Muhammad, which is sent down with him. Didn't say sent down to him, sent down with him. So God didn't reveal just the Quran, he revealed the Sunnah of Muhammad also. Praise be to Allah. Now, this promised one, what it says that he would do in the scriptures that came before, because God has established here in the Quran that this is no new interest and no new promise being fulfilled, but it was given to the people before in the gospel and in the Torah and in the gospel that that would occur. Muhammad the prophet would come, the true liberator, with the light for all time. So of him, God says, as it was given in the scriptures before, that he would teach the book and the wisdom. Right? He would teach the book and the wisdom. So, Imam, what is your obligation? To follow Prophet Muhammad, teach this book, and to teach the wisdom. Don't just teach the book and hide the wisdom from the fools among you. See, I'm afraid if I let them have this, they'll be making too many demands on me. Don't be that way. Allah will get you out of your position sooner or later. To teach the book and the wisdom. And to do what? Well, you zakki them and to purify them. Huh? And to purify them. So your responsibility is to give knowledge, but also wisdom for making decisions and judgment. For hukmah is wisdom that you need in order to operate a government. It's not just any kind of wisdom. To teach them the book and the wisdom. It means the scripture, the book, and the wisdom that is needed for operating government. And Christian religion, isn't the church a government? And hasn't the constitution of this land provided that the Christian government be free to operate upon the Christian doctrine and not be dictated to by any other doctrine or law? You have the same right as Muslims. You have the right to Islamic government within your masjid and within your Muslim community. As long as that Islamic government does not put in danger or threaten or the constitutional life of these United States. And if this religion was a threat to the constitutional life of these United States, President Madison and others wouldn't have praised it, wouldn't have accommodated its growth, the prospect for it, by saying noble things of the religion and paying tribute to such nations as Morocco. The very recent President Carter, wouldn't have said to a body of distinguished men that he addressed that we recognize the three great strands of revelation, Judaism, Islam, and Greek Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So don't think that religious freedom in this country is a monopoly of the church. Religious freedom in this country is for all the great religions. And we are entitled to have our own religious government in our personal lives, in our masjid lives, and to carry that into our daily life. The Muslim is not forced to operate a business in a non-Islamic way. This country gives us the freedom to have halal food, have halal business. It recognized the demand on the religious adherent coming in the context or in the content of the scriptures. then you should take up that responsibility, assist the individuals who are struggling to establish business, encourage that kind of industry on the part of the members of your community, recognize excellence, good standards in business, or good business practices. When you find them among the members of the community or among the members of your network, and encourage the members of the method or the community to support all Muslim invested interests, whether it be method property, school buildings, private businesses operated by individuals. Allah has obligated us to respect, honor, and protect the interests, not only of the masjid, but also of the members, the Muslim brothers and sisters. Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings be on him, he said, your brother's blood and his property is sacred. And he said that during his farewell address. During that address, he attended the most important issues for the Muslim community. So if he addressed that need to respect and not violate the person, the life, the blood, or the property of your brothers, then you know the importance of supporting business investment by members of the community. I have found from experience that when you preach this religion in its true spirit, the spirit of openness and honesty, freedom, God is with it. He blesses that community. And what you were fearing, God takes care of it. So, well, we don't want them to take their monies and put it into business and do these things. We need that money into charity. I can't pay the rent. I can't pay the phone bill this month. So fearing that you won't have money to pay phone bill or rent or whatever, you will discourage the members of the community from investing in things outside of the masjid. That's short-sightedness on the part of the imam, the leader. I have found from experience that when you encourage industry in this membership on the part of the individual person, they come back to you with more zakat. A lot of you all are Christians, and you know the fish casts the bread on the water. It'll come back to you. Praise be to Allah. And we must understand, too, that the cat is much bigger than our charity need as imam or as leaders of a masjid following our community. The cat is so big and so broad that if we were in a situation to be responsible for the land, the nation where we are, this government, zakat would also become the tax for this government, wouldn't it? So zakat is much bigger than the area of interest that you have as leader of just a masjid community, our masjid population. So you should understand then that you are to promote zakat by promoting industry in the person, in the individual, in the community. That's how you promote the cash. But how are those people going to respond to their family needs? The CAD is to take care of the members of your family first. How are they going to carry out the responsibility of the CAD if they don't have income? If we have too a great percentage of our men unemployed, how are they going to carry out that great duty, that great responsibility of the CAD? They can't do it. The only way for us to realize the materialization of our responsibility as to the CAD is for us to promote industry, business, investment, material investment, et cetera, et cetera. We have Sadaqatul Eidan, the charity on the two great Eids, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Those are charities too, but they're called sadaqa, and not zakat. There are different forms of charity. Zakat is the broadest one. It covers all. But it refers more specifically to the charity that comes from industrious persons, working people, business people. People who are realizing income or profits from their investments or their business. That's what the cash specifically addresses or refers to. Whereas sadaqa is refers to the debt that is given from the heart in the spirit of celebration, where you don't want to see another poor Muslim not having the good dinner like you have on the day of Eid. So you put some money into the central pot or the collection so that those that didn't have any money will still be able to enjoy the Eid just like you. That's sadaqa, right? Or you will give something to your child. Your child ain't poor. Your child is not needy. But because this is the Eid day, buy your child a new suit. Huh? Or get in that bicycle. Or get the daughter that dress she's been looking at. So that's sadaqa too. But zakat is so broad that zakat includes giving, imparting knowledge to a person that needs it, sharing your knowledge with somebody that can benefit from it. Zakat is so broad that it even covers small courtesies, because the Prophet has called small courtesies zakat, huh? He says, The Muslim who meets his brother Muslim with a smile, he gives a zakat, huh? Yes, that's a form of zakat, that he has a smile to offer. So that word is so big, but we must understand that it very specifically refers to, directly refers to shares that are demanded of a Muslim or a good person from his business investment, from his profits, from his material investment, to come back into the community to raise the level of life, of material life for the total community. So that's an obligation mainly on business people, working people, industrious people. So, well, what about the person that ain't got them? Should we be giving zakat? I've explained to you, my dear friend, that zakat is very broad. It also covers that responsibility on the poorest member in the community to give something if it's no more than a nickel. Yes, because God, he points to those that are excellent in that particular principle or that particular virtue. And he says, and they give, whether it's in times that are good or in times of deprivation. Huh? Whether they're doing well or whether they're suffering deprivation, they give.
Yet we should ensure the establishment of community structures, material structures. We should be strong leaders out front, lending our assistance, our moral assistance, contributing to the good morale of the business community. And always remembering that God says, "What shall he be my attack and law? For the attention of the feminine dunya." Put the hereafter, obedience to God, first. However, don't forget your share of the material world. Now, isn't that a true liberator? Oh, yes. That's the true liberator. That's Allah. And Muhammad was the living mortal man, the mortal man. Example for the exemplar. Exemplary example to us. Purity is a concern for all Islamic community interests. Purity. If you understand the five principles of this religion, upon which this religion is structured, and therefore the very design and structure for the Islamic community life, if you understand those five essentials, those five pillars, you understand that they are really given to the Muslim community in the form of purity. And the obligation upon the Muslim community is to keep them pure and keep religion purely for God. That's the command of God in the Quran, right? How do you keep the religion purely for God? Suratul Ikhlas, kullu huwa Allahu ahad.